सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणं मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। So in this 18th chapter, we have studied about karma and its various aspects, the doer, karta, the adhishthanam, the body, the knowledge, the karma, and the sukham. And all of this can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. So if I am a sattvic karta, then my actions will be sattvic. The results will be sattvic. The sukham, the joy I get, will be sattvic. But if I am a rajasic or a tamasic karta and do those kind of activities, then the result of that also in the long run, in the beginning, it may be rajasic activity may be look beneficial, but the long-term results of that are rajasic or tamasic. Because as we do, so we get the results. And then suddenly Bhagwan shifted to another topic, the four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. So as we had studied before, the 18th chapter is a summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. The first chapter is Arjuna's question, his doubts, his vishada. In the second chapter, Bhagwan gives an introduction to the entire Bhagavad Gita. What are the topics Bhagwan will cover? And some of them he goes into more detail. Then the third to the 17th chapter is the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. And the 18th chapter is a summary where Bhagavan summarizes the entire Gita and also certain aspects that are not covered in detail, which he feels needs further explanation. Bhagavan goes into more detail. So in the fourth chapter, Bhagavan had said, Chatur Varna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashah Tasya Kartarapi Mam Vidhi Akartaram Avyayam. So Bhagavan says, Chatur Varna Maya Srishtam. These four castes or Varnas. Varna means these four colors, four aspects of society, the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras are created not out of birth. It's not that a Brahman's son automatically becomes a Brahman or a Kshatriya son. But Bhagavan says, Guna Karma Vibhagashah. So based on the gunas, the qualities of the individual, and what activities he or she performs, will decide whether a person is a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. And these differences, these four qualifications are present throughout the world. It's not that only in India. Because, say, here also we have seen that the society consists of four different kinds of people. The number one are the thinkers, the scientists, the professors, the teachers, the scholars, the university heads. Those are all Brahmanas. They are all the teachers. Then the Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are the warriors, the soldiers, the politicians, the leaders of society. And they are there throughout the world. And the third group are the business people, the farmers, the business people, the financial experts, the CEOs of big companies, Google and so on. So they form under the category of Vaishyas. And the third, Shudra, is not something untouchable or which was a pollution in the Indian society, which is slowly dying down. All this, Mahatma Gandhi is the one who started this movement in the 1940s, and throughout the history, now we find that these four divisions are not based on birth, but they are based on qualification. So the fourth group are the workers, the farm workers, the factory workers, the office workers, the janitors, plumbers, electricians. And we need all four. All four are equally important. It's not that society can function only with thinkers. You need thinkers, you need leaders, you need business people, and you need workers. They're all equally important. Suppose tomorrow farm workers all decide not to come to work. Who's going to pick the crop on the fruits, on the trees? They will all rot. If the sanitation people, the garbage department, they go on strike for a week, the whole city smells because the garbage is not picked up. So each job is equally important. That's what the Bhagavad Gita tells us. It was a wrong understanding that one is superior to the other. And that's what we see in Purush Suktam. Brahmano Mukham Asit Bahu Rajanya Kritaha Uru Tadasya Yad Vaishyaha Padbhyagam Shudro Ajayata. In our body also, and in that supreme being, the head represents the thinking part, the thinkers. They are the face, the head, where we get the knowledge and we think. The arms represent activity, the ability to do things, the ability to achieve, ability to take, possess. And that is the Kshatriyas, the the active class. Then the hips and thighs represent the creative aspect to create new beings and also to bear the load of this body. The hips and thighs are very important. So the business people are the ones that, in a way, carry the burden of society. But the most important is the feet. If the legs and feet are not functioning, if I have a sprained ankle, I can't do anything. I'm stuck. So the feet are actually the ones that carry the whole body. So similarly, the workers are the ones that carry this society. So to think that one is superior to the other is wrong. I can't say my feet are less important than my hands. No, everything is important, every part of this body. Same with this cosmic Purusha, in Purush Suktam, expressed as four groups: the thinkers, the leaders, the business people, and the workers. And that's what Gandhiji taught us, and that's what Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us, that all four are created by me, all four are equally important. So that is what we have to understand, that every being that is created on this earth is important. Even a blade of grass, Gurudev in his commentary says, even a blade of grass is not waste. Everything is required. The leaves are required. They create oxygen. Everything, whatever is in Bhagwan's creation, is perfect. And we have to accept all as equal, all as one, without looking down on somebody's job or somebody's profession. And so this is a brief summary. And also, as Sudhaji had covered last week, Arjuna, even though he was a Kshatriya by training and by profession, when the right opportunity came for him to use his abilities, he suddenly decides to wants to go to the forest to meditate. And Bhagwan tells him that is not appropriate. You have to do your duty. So we'll continue from that. Bhagwan will expand a little more on the third chapter. As we said, the 18th chapter is a summary. So he covered something from fourth. Now Bhagwan is going to talk about the third chapter, which is Karma Yoga, or the right way to work, how to work. He's going to expand on that and give us a little more information and summarize the third chapter in three or four shlokas. So chapter 18 will go to shloka number 45. For those who are on Zoom, we have taken a picture of this chart that we have, that the audience is able to see. If you go on WhatsApp, you'll be able to find the points that I will be covering. So if you're home, you can also follow the various points that are being covered. So look in WhatsApp. Of course, those who are here can see the live board. So shloka number 45, chapter 18. Sve sve karmanya bhirataha.
Sve sve karmanya bhirataha.
Sam siddhim labhate naraha.
Sam siddhim labhate naraha.
Svakarma nirata siddhim.
Svakarma nirata siddhim.
Yatha vindati tachrunu.
Yatha vindati tachrunu.
Together. Sve sve karmanya bhirataha. Sam siddhim labhate naraha. Svakarma nirata karma. Sorry. Svakarma nirata siddhim. Yatha vindati tachrunu. So tat shrunu. So Bhagwan is telling us, listen with attention. Shrunu means listen. Don't just hear it, but listen. Gurudev recently had sent us a very beautiful message on WhatsApp. What is correct listening? Listening is not only hearing. That's how teenagers do that. They hear, but they don't listen. So listening is that when I am listening to something, my attention should be completely on that. At that time, I should not be comparing with what I have heard before, what I am judging, this is good, this is bad. But with attention and not trying to read something else, but just pay attention to, because then only the knowledge stays. And then later on, I can then go back to the book and read it or read beforehand. But paying attention to, that's what Bhagwan, when he wants to give an important topic, he says, Shrunu, listen. So what does he say? Sve sve karmani abhirataha. So these four castes, these four groups, the thinkers, the leaders, the business people, and the workers, all four, sve sve karmani abhirataha, as long as they are involved in their own activity, whatever my work I am supposed to do, karmani in those activities, abhirata means completely involved. And as long as I'm doing the right activity that I am supposed to do at that moment, sam siddhim labhate naraha, the wise person attains siddhi. Siddhi here does not mean some supernatural powers, but purification of the mind. So if I do what I am supposed to do with full attention and do it in the right way, then I get purification of mind. And with a pure mind, I am then able to contemplate on the truth, you know, to meditate, do my prayers and do my activities. And we'll talk about what is this siddhi. And swakarma nirata siddhi. And how this person, while doing his or her activity, yatha vindati, how he attains that highest goal while doing karma yoga, that shrunu. So he says, listen to me, how one should do the activities. And while doing the activities, reach the highest goal. So as we know, there are three paths, the path of karma yoga, service, the path of bhakti or love, and the path of knowledge. And how all three will take us to the highest goal. The path of karma yoga or service and the path of bhakti or love will prepare the mind. You know, in the Thursday class, we are doing manashodhanam, purification. And as the mind becomes pure, then the knowledge, which is the direct path, all three are helpful, but the knowledge is the direct path, will take me to the highest. So the first point we have is vasanas. We are all born with certain vasanas, certain tendencies. They could be good, bad, indifferent, and we all have them. There is nobody, because human birth occurs because of unfulfilled vasanas. If I have certain strong desires in this life which do not get fulfilled, and I die with those strong desires, then I will take another birth. And that is a given. There is no escape from that. So how do I get out of this cycle of birth and death, reduce my vasanas to a minimum, and reach the understanding of who I really am, which throughout the Bhagavad Gita, even in our meditation class, we talked about today, that we do from 10:20 to 10:50, that I am that nature of that truth, who at this moment is identified with this body, mistakenly thinking myself. And so these vasanas are the ones that bind us. They could be good or they could be bad. A lot of times vasanas, we think only bad. Yes, that is true. Bad things bind us, but even sometimes good things. I may be doing something good, but then I get so attached to that, that anybody who comes and does not let me do good, I may be doing service in an organization, but somebody else can do the job better, but I get attached to my job that only I can do it, nobody else. Then that is called a sattvic vasana, which also can bind you, that I only can do it, nobody else. So how do we get rid of these vasanas? So there are two ways. As we said, one is surrender, bhakti, the path of love, where I surrender to God and say, Bhagwan, you are the doer. I am a humble instrument in your hand. You are doing everything. In fact, this whole world is nothing but you and you alone. And so this attitude of love, where I love spontaneously everybody, not what can I get out of this person. I loved him, but he didn't love me back. I did this and she. That's no question. I do what is my duty. If somebody responds, fine. If not, let God worry about it. Because God is in everyone. So that, and surrender that I am not the doer. God alone is working through me. So when that happens, then such a person's mind becomes pure, because it reduces his anger, greed, jealousy, likes and dislikes. I don't like this person. I like this. How can I dislike anybody? God is everywhere. So that is the path of bhakti. In the path of karma yoga, when I'm working in the world, I'm working as his instrument. Just as a knife does not have its own power, the lady wielding the knife will decide whether it will cut potatoes or it will cut cucumber. The knife doesn't say, I like to cut only potatoes and not. No, the knife does what the lady of the house says. The scissors will only cut what. So similarly, when I'm an instrument of Bhagwan, instrument of the Lord, then I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. And that idea that whatever I am doing is his service. So there is no I or my. And then I spontaneously serve everybody. So when I am doing my activities with that attitude, that wherever I have been placed is the best place for me. And when we do that, then such an activity becomes service, becomes true service. I remember I was talking to a patient of mine a couple of 2-3 years back. He came from the hospital. He was quite sick and stayed for about 2 weeks and finally came out. And I asked him, how was your experience in the hospital? And he said, yeah, it was very tough, doctor. I was very sick. But he said, you know who made that experience better? I thought maybe he'll say doctor or nurse or, you know. He said there was a nursing aide, there was an assistant. And she every day will come and talk to me and say, Mr. Smith, I don't exactly know. How are you doing? And she'll come with a smile and then she'll make sure that if I haven't eaten, she will sit and feed me. And then she will make sure my sheets are clean and change my dressing lovingly with, you know, even though my dressing was smelly and all. He said, that's the one I remember the most. All the doctors, the nurses and the interns and none of them. Why? Because she does her duty, whatever she's assigned. She doesn't think my job is inferior. You know, I'm just a nursing aide and the doctors and the nurses and the, you know, interns and whatever job I have been assigned, Bhagwan has placed me there. My Lord has placed me and I'll do that to the best of my ability. So that is called service. That is called karma yoga. Instead of comparing that, you know, I am not as good as so-and-so, and Bhagwan will explain that further. So that is the glory of this path. That is the glory of the teaching. This reminds me of a story. So there was this circus manager and he was always looking for new acts, you know, so that people should keep coming to the circus. So one day this young man walks in with a suitcase and he tells this fellow, the manager, he says, I have an act that you will have never seen before. Circus managers, I have seen everything. You know, I've been a manager in circus for 35 years and nothing you can show me that I haven't seen before. He says, okay. So he opens the suitcase. He takes out a little dog, small dog, and a little piano. And he puts the dog in front of the piano and the dog starts playing the piano and beautiful music, Mozart and Bach. Wow, this is great. And the dog playing music. I have never seen this before. And as he's watching, this another big dog comes, catches the little dog by the neck and takes him away. So the manager says, what happened? Why is this dog taking the dog away? He says, oh, she is his mother and she wants him to be a doctor. So the point is that every job is important. We need artists as much as we need physicians, as much as we need, you know, factory workers, construction workers. Otherwise, how will all these buildings be? So to think that one job is superior to another is a misunderstanding. Every job is important, but do it with the right attitude. Do it with the attitude of service. And Bhagwan will talk about the nature of God in the next shloka. Who is this God that I am serving? So shloka number 46, chapter 18. Yatah pravrittir bhutanam. Yena sarvamidam tatam.
Yena sarvamidam tatam.
Svakarmana tam abhyarchya. Siddhim vindati manavah.
Siddhim vindati manavah.
Yatah pravrittir bhutanam. Yena sarvamidam tatam. Svakarmana tam abhyarchya. Siddhim vindati manavah. So who is this God that I am serving? And why should I serve this God? So Bhagwan again and again throughout the Bhagavad Gita has talked about who is this supreme reality that is maintaining this entire universe. So yattaha means from that, that's the fifth case, from that pravrittihi bhutanam. Bhutanam means of all beings, what is the origin? Where did all this originate from? Not only humans, but birds, plants, animals, fish, and inert objects, rocks, stones, mountains. Where did it originate from? All the planets, you know, space, all the galaxies, innumerable trillions of stars and with trillions of miles of space, where did this originate from? So yataha, from that one consciousness, that's what we believe in Vedanta, that there is only one God, one Brahman, from whom this whole universe manifested. And that same consciousness then plays different roles. It's called as Ram or Krishna or Shiva in Hinduism, in Christianity is called Father in Heaven. Jesus, those are manifestations of that supreme reality. Allah in Christian Islam, Muhammad in Buddhism, Buddha. So all these deities, all these powers, celestial powers are manifestation of one. So we believe there is only one God, even though people think Hinduism is polytheistic. Hinduism is monotheistic. If you truly understand, there is one Brahman, which is the consciousness from whom everything is emerged. And that same consciousness plays different roles and is given different names in different religions, in different books. So from that one consciousness has emerged, and yena sarvam idam tatam, and that one consciousness pervades everything. Everything you see is that one consciousness alone. Like mud, there is one mud, but all parts are pervaded by that one mud alone. You may see different names and forms. Mud is called pot, it's called plate, it's called saucer, it's called vase, you know, different Chinese vase and different colors. But everything is essentially mud and mud alone. So similarly, that one consciousness alone pervades everything. Yena sarvam idam tatam. And svakarmana, and by my actions, tam abhyarchya, he says, worship that by your actions. And then siddhim vindati manavaha, then that individual reaches the highest. Siddhim, here siddhim means again, purification of mind, and then mind directed to the higher. So as we have seen, everything emerges from that, is sustained by that, pervaded by that, and merges back into that. Just as mud, all pots emerge from mud, are pervaded by mud, and if the pot breaks, it merges back into the mud. It doesn't go anywhere else. gold becomes all these ornaments, and then you take the gold, especially in India, they do that. Oh, I have an old necklace which is out of fashion. So they will take it to the jeweler and he will melt it. And where it goes? Back into gold. And then with that gold, he said, no, now I want a bangle. I want a nice bangle. So he said, okay, so that same gold which was a necklace now becomes a bangle and becomes a ring or an anklet or something else. So everything, all ornaments emerge from gold, are nothing but gold, and ultimately merge back into gold. So similarly, that one consciousness called Brahman, the big, that is bigger than even space. Even space is contained in that one consciousness. And I am nothing but a manifestation of that consciousness. Just as the pot is nothing but mud, the necklace is nothing but gold. So I, as this individual, am that divinity manifesting in this body. And that I have to understand. Not only I, but everyone is. Everyone is a manifestation. So such a person respects all people, even does not destroy plants, you know, animals, treats everybody with love. And every activity of such a person becomes worship of God, because God alone is there. So when I'm serving somebody, I'm serving God. When I'm cooking food for my family, who is there in my family? God alone is there. When I am helping anyone. So that idea, even a secretary sitting at a desk and different people come to her throughout the day, you know, in a government office, different people come. She says, God alone is here in front of me as this each form. So then every action becomes a service when she's taking care of individuals. And Bhagavan in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita says it very beautifully. The teacher, the Lord, yad karoshi yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi dadasi yad, yad tapasyasi kaunteya, tad kurushva madarpanam. We had, those who are chanting the 9th chapter, we had studied that. So he says, yad karoshi, he says, whatever you do, yad ashnasi, whatever you eat, not only eat through that's why we always say prayer, you know, we say grace before we eat. Why? Because God is in the food and God has provided the food. But eating is not only through the mouth, but through the eyes, I am seeing the sights, through the ears, I am hearing the sound, nose, I am smelling, skin, I am touching. So whatever you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, eat, everything is God alone. And offer it to God. Yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi. And then whatever you sacrifice, when you are offering sacrifices in the fire or when you are giving something up, yad dadasi, when you are doing some charity or helping somebody else or sacrificing, yad tapasyasi, and then when you're doing any kind of austerity, you know, you're fasting or you are doing some, you know, getting up in the morning early to meditate, to pray, and so on. So he says, tat kurushva madarpanam, offer everything to me, God says in the Bhagavad Gita, that every activity of yours should become a prayer, should become a worship of me. And that is very, very important, that every activity, let it be a prayer, let it not be that I'm doing it for so-and-so. I'm doing it for God who has created me, who has given me all the abilities, my ability to walk, talk, think, everything. And when you do that, then every activity becomes pure. There is a very beautiful story of Ramakrishna Paramhans. He was a great saint in India. And his disciple, Swami Vivekananda, was the first one in 1890 to bring Vedanta to the U.S. He came by ship. So Ramakrishna Paramhans was his guru. And Ramakrishna Paramhans used to talk to people. He was a priest, but people would come and he would give short talks, or they would just come to pray at the temple and he would bless them. So there was this one devotee who used to come very irregular. He'll come for 1 or 2 days and then disappear for a week, then again come 2, 3. When he comes, he's a great devotee. That temple was to the mother goddess. So he used to worship with great faith and devotion. And then suddenly 3-4 days he's gone. And then again he comes. So he, Ramakrishna, what's wrong with this fellow? He comes with great devotion and then suddenly he disappears. Mother Kali, he used to worship. So he asked one of the people, he said, what's with this person? You know, sometime he comes with great faith for mother and sometime he will 3-4 days disappear. So what's wrong with him? So they say, you know, Maharaj, we don't want to tell you this, but he loves to drink. So what he'll do is when he's sober, he's a great devotee of Mother Goddess. But then after 2-3 days, he feels like drinking. And then once he starts drinking, he gets so drunk 2-3 days, he doesn't know what is happening. Hangover. That's why he doesn't come. So and then when he's got over that, then Ramakrishna says, okay, next time he comes, ask him to talk to me. So they come, so they say, you know, Maharaj, this Ramakrishna Maharaj wants to talk to you. So he thought maybe, you know, he will scold me or something. So he pulls him aside and he quietly tells him. He says, I heard you like to drink. He says, yeah, Maharaj. Ramakrishna says, go ahead and drink. So he says, go ahead and drink? I thought you will tell me I should. No. You can definitely drink. Now this person is surprised. He thought I'll get scolding and this person is telling me you can drink. He says, yeah. No problem. You can drink as much as you want. He says, okay. That's good to hear. He says, only one thing I tell you. Before you do take the first drink, offer it to the Mother Goddess. Do you have a picture, a little statue of Mother Goddess in your house? He said, of course, I'm a great devotee. He said, just offer the first drink to her. After that, you can have as many drinks as you want. So he was really surprised. He says, this person is asking me to drink as much as I want. So he goes home, comes after 2 weeks, doesn't show up for 2 weeks. He falls down at Ramakrishna's feet. He says, what happened? What happened? He says, ever since then, I haven't been able to drink. 2 weeks. He says, why? What happened? He said, how can I offer alcohol to the Mother Goddess? You know, I offer good things to her, food and all that. And I will offer drinks to her? No, I can't do that. That's the thing. When you offer things to God, they cannot be unholy. They cannot be dirty things. You only offer what is good. So when I'm offering my activities to God, how can I offer activities that are harmful to society? Because whatever I offer to God has to be clean, has to be pure, has to be, you know, good for society. So that's what they say, that is the offering, that every activity I'm doing God's work. And I offer it to God. And that's why they say, get up in the morning and remember God as the first thing. Before you get out of bed, you open your eyes, just chant the Lord's name. Shri Krishna Sarnam Mama, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Om Namah Shivaya. So get up in the morning chanting the Lord's name and go to bed at night also, just chanting the Lord's name and remembering God with full attention. And then what will happen throughout the day when you have a moment, you stopped at a traffic light, just chant the name of the Lord. Wherever you have an opportunity, you're doing dishes instead of saying, why do I have to do the dish? That is God's work. And just keep chanting the Lord's name when I'm vacuuming the house, whatever I'm doing, remembering God. And every activity should be without a karta bhava. What is the karta bhava? That I do it. I and mine. That should be reduced. It's his work. He is doing it. He is working through me or her. If you worship the Mother Goddess, it's the same thing. She is the one working through me. It can be Mother Saraswati, Mother Durga, Kali. You know, in Christianity, many people worship Mother Mary. So it's the same thing, that the Lord is working through me, and that is the idea. And then every activity becomes a worship. Then there is no activity which is wrong. And there's not that the janitor's job is lower than, you know, the professor's job, or the every job is important. Every job is good. Every job, that's what we say. Just as every part of my body is important. So all of us are part of that. And we have been assigned different jobs based on our abilities, based on our training, based on our... And it's not based on birth, as Gurudev in his commentary said. There was this sheep herder, a shepherd, a boy, and he said, I don't want to take care of sheep. I want to become a warrior. And so he goes to Paris, learns, joins the army, learns to fight, and he became Napoleon Bonaparte, one of the greatest generals in the French army. So the point is that you don't have to be confined just, you know, and we find so many examples even among Hindus. There was a Gora Kumhar who was born as a pot maker. Ordinary pot maker, and he was considered a low caste, but he was such a great devotee of God that he became a great saint where people all over worshipped him. Till today, people remember. So it is not based on birth, it is based on your karmas and based upon your gunas. And that's what Bhagavan is telling Arjuna, that you are a warrior by training. You have from childhood learned how to fight. And now you are faced with a challenge where the evil is standing on the other side. And if you don't fight, the evil will take over and the country will be run by dishonest, crooked people. And you have an opportunity to stop them. So if you run away from this battle and you say, I want to go to the forest to meditate, it's not going to work. Your mind will still be here. Oh, I had the opportunity to fight. I ran away. And people will say, oh, the great warrior Arjuna, when it came time to fight Bhagya, he ran away. He was a coward. So that's what the whole second chapter. So Bhagavan is summarizing for Arjuna, the entire Bhagavad Gita, that why every action should be a service of God. And who is this God? What is my birth? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And he will talk about a little bit more about what is my duty and what is somebody else's duty and why I should do my duty according to my nature, not necessarily according to birth. Like that shepherd, he was born as a shepherd and his parents were telling him, you need to become a shepherd because our father was a shepherd, grandfather, great. You have to take care of sheep. He said, no, I don't want to take care of sheep. And he became a great general. He became a leader of the country. So what is your inner nature? See, one is the place I am born into. I am born. But the other is what I am born with. Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary says, what I am born with and what I am born into. Into means I have been born into a particular place, but maybe that's not my inner nature, my swabhava. So I should see what is my inner nature, and same way parents should also see that what is the child's nature and accordingly nurture him. So I remember one of my friend was a very successful, he is a very successful pulmonary doctor. He's now retired, very, very well known in Florida, in that city, everybody knew him. Now his son wanted to become an actor. He said, Dad, I don't want to go into medicine. I don't want to do that. I don't want science. I want to become an actor. He said, you want to be an actor? He says, yeah. And he said, you know what? I got accepted to the New York School of Drama, which is so hard to get accepted to. He said, I have been accepted there. I have been applying there. And I have been, you know, he used to act in plays throughout his high school and all. And he said, Dad, I have been accepted and I want to go there. I don't want to study medicine. I know you are doing very well. You are very successful, but I don't want that. And it's surprising that this friend of mine said, you want to go to drama? Go ahead. And he encouraged him. He said, that's what you really like? It's fine. He said, I'll pay your tuition. I'll support you as long as, but be the best actor you can be. Be the best when you go to the drama school, learn whatever is best and then become successful. So the point is that not everybody is fit for the same thing. So you have to see what is the child's nature, what is the child's inclination, and accordingly encourage him. So we'll do shloka number 47. Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunaha. Paradharmat Svanushthita. Swabhavaniyatam Karma. Kurvannapnoti Kilbisham. Veyan Swadharmo Vigunaha. Paradharmat Svanushthitat. Swabhavaniyatam Karma. Kurvannapnoti Kilbisham. So Shreyan, Shreyan means what is better. Swadharma, my own duty. Dharma here means my duty and what is best for my nature. Viguna, and that may not be as good as paradharmat swanushthitat, with somebody else. See, I am by nature, I am good at doing something. But what I do, I think that person's job is more respectful. You know, like this artist, he starts thinking, no, if I, you know, if I can be a doctor or a businessman or, a, you know, like my father, then, you know, I might have more prestige. Yes, but that won't be his nature. So he says more important is what is your inner nature rather than what society thinks is better. You know, society always gives categories. You know, this category is higher. This, unfortunately, in India also, that Brahmanas are superior than Kshatriyas, then Vaishyas, then Shudras. That is a misinterpretation. All four are equally important, as we have studied. So he says, Shreyan Swadharma, even though it may not be that high as somebody else's duty, Paradharma Swanushtita. Why? Swabhava niyatam karma, doing activities based on your true nature. Swabhava niyatam, decided by your nature. Kurvan, doing those, na apnoti kilbisham, he does not get any sin. So what is this sin? We'll talk about. So he says that people always say, you know, in this company, I'm here. I get this kind of job, you know, just to sweep the floor. And the other guy, he's sitting in the desk, you know, giving orders. Why can't I be like him? You know, I like to be like him. But maybe you are not that qualified. You have to look at your training, look at your qualification. You know, you didn't even go to college after high school. You can't be a CEO of the company or a manager. It has to be based on your qualification, not based on birth, not because his father was manager, so he made his son man. Now that is wrong. And we find that, you know, in politics also, if my dad was the leader, then the son, whether he's competent or incompetent, automatically becomes the head. We find that in India. We find that in US also. If your last name is so-and-so, no matter how duffer you are or dunce you are, you automatically are qualified to be prime minister or president. We see that all over the world. You know, if the guy is a CEO, owner of the company, he'll make his son the owner, and son may not be totally unqualified. And after the father dies, this guy just wastes all the money in drugs, gambling, this and that. And the company goes to ruin, becomes bankrupt. Why? Because he chose the wrong guy. Just because he's my son doesn't mean that he's qualified to run a big company. So that's what they say, that you should do work that is you are qualified for and that you are doing. Why? Because as we said, we are all born with certain vasanas, certain desires. Now, if I fulfill those desires to do good, like that we talked about that lady who's working in the hospital, a nursing aide, but every day she comes with the idea, how can I make other people's life better? And so when you work with that attitude, then whatever your vasanas are, they get exhausted. When I do my activities dedicated to God, do it with the idea of service, slowly my vasanas become less. But if I do things only I like, and then I don't do what I dislike, you know, this job is not good. I'll only do this. And that may not be my nature, may not be what I'm qualified for, but I somehow forcefully do it. I'm not going to be able to exhaust my old vasanas, but create new vasanas. That's what Swami Chinmayananda says in his commentary. So he says, see what you are good at, do it well, and do it with the attitude of service. Then you will not create any evil, means you will not create new vasanas, new desires, but you will exhaust your old vasanas. Because vasanas, how do we exhaust them? You cannot exhaust them by overindulging. You know, say I have a vasana to drink or to gamble or to whatever. I just overindulge in that. It's not going to exhaust. It's going to increase any desire. Or if you suppress it forcefully, say, you know, I'm not going to do this. But you keep thinking about it. That is also. So what they say, sublimate it, direct it towards God. Then automatically that vasana will go away, like that alcoholic when he dedicated it to Mother Goddess. He couldn't drink anymore. How can I drink when I'm offering it to God? So the same vasana can be sublimated. That's what it's called, sublimate. Offer my activities to God and I'm working for God. Then automatically all my actions become pure. Then how can I do wrong actions? How can I do impure actions? So do every activity as a duty, that this is my duty and that's why I'm doing it. Not I'm doing anybody else a favor. God has placed me here. And do every activity with concentration and detachment. That means whatever I am doing, do with full attention, not half-hearted. You know, some people, they do little bit here, then little bit there. No, wherever I am, either don't do it or do it 100%. See, don't do 10% here, 20% at 30%. No, if whatever job I am assigned, either I say, okay, I'm not qualified. I'm not going to do it. Not because I don't like or dislike, but that's not my nature. I am not qualified. But once I take up a job, then do it 100%. No half-hearted measures. And they say do it with detachment. Detachment means do not get attached to activities. Do not get attached to things that this is my job. Only I can do it. Nobody else can do it. Or develop this attitude that I am greater than the next person. I have a better job. I am superior. Nothing is superior. When there is one God in everybody, how can you say she is inferior? I am superior. No, nothing. Everybody is that one alone. And remember that wherever I have been placed, God has placed me for a purpose. Nothing, as we said, in this creation goes waste. Nothing is in the wrong place. Wherever I have been placed, that's where God wants me. And does not mean that you don't try to improve or get better. Do the best I can, but do not complain that why am I in this place and why is that person? Wherever I am, do my best and do it and know what is my swabhava, what is my true nature, what am I good at? See, each one of us is good at some things. Like people tell me, why don't you write books? You know, you speak. I say, I can't write. I'm not a writer. You put me in front of a mic, I can talk. But I'm not a good writer. I cannot write books. And they used to, even recently somebody told me, he said, you should have become a writer. I said, no, I can't write. Because to write, you have to have different skills. You have to collect the data. You have to put it in a book form, do the reference. I can't do all that. But so each one has to know what they are good at and then do it to the best of their ability. And that is what their true nature is. And that is what they get used to. So I'm talking about getting used to, we went to Iceland. I don't know if any of you has been to Iceland, but our family, we went there and I have a good friend who is a surgeon there, who's now retired. And so we stayed with him and then then we traveled through the country. His wife arranged for us to go to different places and we went. And the thing about Iceland is the water comes from the ground. You know, they don't have much rain or that. it and that groundwater is very sulfur. It has a very sulfuric smell. And it's very hard to drink it, very hard to bathe because your whole body smells. So I told him, he said, what smell? We don't find any smell because he has been living there, Iceland, for 30 years. And this is fine water. What's wrong with it? And after a week or two, then slowly you say, yeah, you know, it's not that bad. So the thing is for him, it was natural. For them, they say, oh, this is natural water. It has a sulfur smell. Even after 1 or 2 weeks, it was hard for me to get used to bathing in it, drinking it. But for them, it is natural. So that's what they say. What is natural for you may not be natural for somebody else. So just know what is it and then be used to it. I'll end with a beautiful story of King Shivi. We have about 5 minutes. And talking about nature. So in the Mahabharata, there is this story about this King Shivi. Now, this king was known for being extremely generous. He said, whatever anybody came, if he could give it, he would give it. Very generous. And he was always taking help, taking care of his subjects, even though he was a king, did whatever he could to make their life better. And he became very well known throughout the country, you know, that there is no greater king than King Shivi. And he was very famous. And so these gods in heaven said, let's test him, you know, these smaller gods, not that supreme Brahman, but these smaller gods. Like in Greek, they have Zeus and, you know, god of wind and god of rain and god of... So in Hinduism, it's Indra who is the king of gods, like Zeus. So he was the king of gods. And then Agni, the god of fire, the two of them decided, let's test this guy. See if he really is really a great king or they're just unnecessarily praising him. So the god fire, Agni, became a little dove, a small little bird. And the king Indra became a big hawk. And he started chasing that little bird. And so the hawk is chasing and that little bird is flying. They are both gods, but they take up this form. And that little bird comes and falls in Shibi's lap. And he says, please save me, please save me. You know, the bird is talking. He said, what do you mean save you? He says, see that hawk? He wants to eat me up. So King Shivi looks at the hawk, says, go away. He said, this bird has come to Meri Sharan Mein Aayi. He has come to my refuge. I'm going to take care of this bird. Yeah. Hawk said, but what about me? I'm also here. So he said, well, go away. He said, no, but I only survive on meat. And I have to have meat to eat. I cannot just be hungry. You have to take care of me too. You know, you said you are a great giver. You're taking care of the dove. How about me? Take care of me too. So Shivi says, what can I do for you? He says, I want that bird. He says, no, you can't have it. He says, okay, then give me meat equal to that bird. And I want fresh. And I want it from you. Don't get from the market. So he says, me? Yeah, he says, yeah. Give me as much meat as that bird dove. So they bring a scale. So they put the dove on one side. And then Shivi takes a knife and cuts off a big piece of meat from his thigh. He puts it on the scale. And the bird is heavier. So he says, this is a big piece. Then he, from the other thigh, he cuts a bigger piece, puts it on there. And the bird is still heavier. No matter how much he puts from his shoulders with this knife, he keeps cutting, he's bleeding. And he keeps putting pieces. And the bird is heavy because that bird is, you know, God Agni. So Shivi says, what can I do? So he climbs on that. He says, okay, you can have me, the whole thing. That's all I can give is my whole body. You can take it. But I want to protect the dove. And he tells the hawk, you can take me, eat me, whatever you want. I surrender to you. So immediately the two of them come back to their original form, God Indra and God Agni, and they bless him and all his wounds get healed. So the point is that this king realizes that my swabhava is to give, to help others. And that hawk's nature, swabhava, is to eat meat. So if I have to serve him, I have to do what is best. So the point is that that is what one should see, that what is my true nature? What am I good at? And do that to the best. And the king realized that the hawk is not going to give up his nature of eating meat. He's not going to say, okay, give me some grain or vegetables. But if I have to protect the hawk and if I have to protect that, then I should not give up my nature of helping. See, my nature is to help. And that's why I have been made a king. That's why I have been placed. And I'm not as a king, not to enjoy the kingdom and to have fun and have a great time, but to serve others. So that I am a king to serve my subjects and whoever comes to me. So that's what they say, that when you do your own swabhava, your own nature, and do what you are good at, and do it as a service of God without I and my, then that becomes true karma yoga, that becomes true service. And so wherever I have been placed, that is where I am supposed to be, and do my duty to the best of my ability. We'll end here. It's 12 o'clock. We have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions or comments, I'll put it on gallery view so everybody can see. We can see who all are here. Any questions, any comments anybody has, either on Zoom or in-
I just want to mention one thing. My great-great-grandfather was a farmer. I came from the farmer's family.
Right.
But he didn't want to be farmer. He turned to a big doctor, and he was the physician of Ramakrishna.
Oh, very nice.
And he was never devoted to God or anything, but later on, he was devoted.
Thank you. Angie just told us that her great-grandfather was born in a farmer's family, but he did not want to be a farmer. And he studied, went to school, became a doctor, and he was the physician of Ramakrishna Paramhansa. And he was an atheist, did not believe in God. But when he met the great Ramakrishna, he changed and became a great devotee of God. So, yeah, see, that's exactly. If you know your true nature and do it to the best of your ability without I and my, that is true service. Thank you for sharing that. Was everybody able to hear it, or is the speaker on? Were you all able to hear? Yeah, okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments? Satish Bhai,
I had a question. On several occasions throughout Gita, the Lord talks about sticking to your own dharma and not to adopt someone else's dharma. Is he referring to the swabhava?
Yes.
Or is he referring to like your religion or your dharma, your duty?
Right. No, here when he's talking about swabhava, and throughout the Bhagavad Gita, he says, you have to know what is your swabhava, what you are good at. And even though that may not be as honorable as, say, somebody else's in society's eyes, but here swadharma or swabhava, that's what he means, that what is my true nature and what am I good at? And do that to the best of your ability. As a service of God, and doesn't matter which position you are in. You could be a janitor, you could be doing anything, but if you're doing it with the right attitude, your mind will get purified, and with a pure mind, you can then serve God and do every action as God's work, his work. I'm serving God. And through that action, your mind will become purified. You will have less likes and dislikes. Raga, dvesha will be reduced, anger, greed, jealousy will be reduced. And then with a pure mind, you can then, you know, remember God, you can pray, you can meditate. So here, swadharma is what you see. There is an external dharma and an internal dharma. So external is where I am born, where I am, like she mentioned her Kraken. But then internal is what is my aptitude? What am I good at? And that is called swabhava. That is swadharma. So doing that to the best of your ability will reduce the vasanas and make every action a service to God.
And as far as the varnas go, I mean, don't we transcend from one to the other all 24 hours based upon our thinking process?
Yes.
Our thought process, right?
Right.
So I may be a Brahmin now because I'm sattvic, I'm learning, getting knowledge. But then I may be working somewhere. Now I am a Kshatriya or a Shudra.
Or a business person. Right. True. Yes. So yeah, again, your mind. But then what are you predominantly? That will make it as your career, as your profession.
Right.
Sometimes I think people do not even know what they
are. Right.
The truth of all this.
Right, yeah. So I think Hansaben says very well that people may not know what that true Swabhava is, but then you have to go within and look and see what is it that I enjoy doing? What is it that I am good at? Everybody is good at something. Nobody in this world is a waste. Everybody has been created by God for a particular purpose. And of course, my highest purpose is to realize God, to know God, become one with God. That is the only purpose of human birth. Is to know God. That is it. And everything should be directed. But I still have to work. I have to earn. I have to clean my house. I have to cook. But every activity I should do as a service of God, and then know what am I good at. And you can either know it yourself or maybe ask somebody, you know, maybe a guru or a teacher or somebody whom you respect, who knows you very well, that what do you think? So, and inside everybody knows what they are good at and what they are doing is the right of. And if that activity is benefiting others, that is the number one criteria, that by my activity, am I benefiting others? Like that nursing aide, you know, she was cleaning people's wounds and picking up, you know, bedpans and, you know, but her idea was, am I serving this patient or not? So that is becomes, and for her, that is a saint. She's as good a saint as anybody else. So that is the Swabhava. So does that answer your question? Thank you. Satish Bhai?
Yeah, so that's what, you know, because people misinterpret that as like, I'm a born Brahmin or I'm a born.
Right.
Kshatriya and all that. And that's how all these whole thing interpretation is done. And the people who understand it, they are not spreading that knowledge. And the others are taking advantage of it because it serves their purpose.
Right.
Like politicians or whatever the case may be.
Thank you. Yeah, that's true. Anybody from Zoom? Any questions, comments?
Anirji, was that devotee who was drinking, went to Ramakrishna Paramhansa, was he the Girish Ghosh who was then the famous Bengali writer, producer, dramatist?
Right. Yes. That's what Angie said. I didn't know his name, but thank you. Yes, that's the one.
Girish Ghosh.
Right.
Famous actor.
Oh, so he's the one whom Ramakrishna told him? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I just heard the story, but I didn't know
that. No, name. That is, if you listen to Girish Ghosh's thing, how he turned himself to really his devotee. And he was also given a self-realization by Ramakrishna
Paramahansa. Oh, very nice.
He used to write dramas, and he could dictate to three secretaries three different dramas at the same time.
Wow.
He was so powerful. Very, he would read about Girish Ghosh. It's an unbelievable gift of God.
Thank you. Thank you so much for telling. Yeah, she's right. Angie is saying that. So thank you for bringing that up. Kusum. Yeah, Lata, go ahead.
Yeah, the point that Kusumji just made and you are elaborating on, that Girishji needed a guru to guide him to get to his own Swabhava.
Right.
Because his Swabhava was creativity.
Right.
But what was clouding was this habit or his vasana to that alcohol. So, do we have that in our lives, that kind of guru or a guide or a friend that come and help us or point us to that true nature of ours, so to say.
So I think that is the purpose of studying the Bhagavad Gita. Make Bhagavad Gita the guru. You know, the Bhagavad Gita and whatever is written in the Bhagavad Gita for a Christian could be the Bible, or the, you know, for a Muslim, it could be the Quran. But make the scriptures, tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vyavasthita. Bhagavan says in the Bhagavad Gita. So listening to the scriptures and then listening to commentaries about them, because of like the Bhagavad Gita is in Sanskrit. But Pooja Gurudev has written a very nice commentary in English. So reading his commentary and then making somebody like Pooja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, or for a Christian, it could be reading the Bible, you know, what Jesus has said or what Saint Francis has done. So listening to the scriptures from the masters and having faith in God. Mm-hmm. So I think there, and the guru automatically appears once you're... desire is strong, the guru will appear. God will make sure that the right knowledge comes. I have to become a good shishya. I have to become a good disciple. Guru will appear.
Right. Okay. So,
thank you very much for your comment. Thank you. We'll end here. Next week, we'll continue.
I had gone to Portugal, and there they were telling that in olden times, they had a king, and king would have multiple queens. And their children, but their duty in the evening, they will all get together and watch every child, how he behaves, what he does. The one who has a good characteristic, he will go to something intelligent. The other one just pick up the thing and throw it in his head. And that's how they pick them.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Please repeat the question.
Yeah. What she said was that there was in Portugal a king who had multiple wives and many children, and he used to observe the children every evening, and based on what toys they take, how they play, he could figure out who was the best and then made him the king. So that is the swabhava, that's what he said. So we'll end here. Thank you very much. Next week we'll continue from shloka number 48. So please read if you have Swami Chinmayananda's commentary. If you don't have, you can buy from the office, or you can order, and we can even ship it to you or from online. So thank you very much. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah. Sarve Santu Niramayah. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om. Thank you very much. Hari Om.